From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, time traveling. Here's what's happening. Health officials are still searching for the source of a very serious blood infection linked to at least 18 deaths in the Midwest. The bacteria got its name from a microbiologist, Elizabeth King, who discovered it in 1959. Symptoms of the infection include fever, chills, headache, neck pain, and skin infections. The most at risk for complications are newborns, the elderly, and people with compromised immune systems. The bacteria does not usually cause illness in humans, but in recent months, it has sickened dozens and killed 17 people in Wisconsin and one in Michigan. China has deployed anti-ship cruise missiles on a disputed South China Sea island, and the missiles are raising new concerns in the Pentagon over Beijing's growing military and its vital strategic waterways. Could be a tense situation there. And North Korea has once again asserted that it will use its nuclear weapons arsenal against the United States. Unlike previous statements, however, a note from the rogue state's foreign minister insists that North Korea is now fully equipped and ready to use nuclear weapons on the United States, not just willing to do so. They are ready. Charles R. Smith is an expert on North Korea. And Charles has told me on many, many occasions that he used to think that Kim Jong-un was a buffoon, was a fool. Not anymore. I think a lot of people are starting to get serious and are really trying to decide now what we are going to do with North Korea. A patient who thought that she was losing her battle to cancer and married her fiancé while on her deathbed in the hospital made an unexpected recovery and recently renewed her vows with her husband. What an incredible story. She's from the United Kingdom. She had ovarian cancer, a tumor the size of a watermelon. Everybody thought, she's gone. She's history. Well, she got married to her fiancé, Robert, and somehow everything went into remission. And she's okay. She's doing much better, but they renewed their vows this week. Good for them. Well, if you're a vegetarian, take heed. They say that genetic mutations will raise the risk of heart disease and cancer. Populations who have had a primarily vegetarian diet for generations were found to be far more likely to carry DNA, which makes them susceptible to inflammation. Scientists in the U.S. believe that the mutation occurred to make it easier for vegetarians to absorb essential fatty acids from plants. Well, authorities have arrested a 17-year-old kid. The teenager booked in New Mexico. He was one of several people who apparently smashed a flying saucer at Roswell, New Mexico. It was a decorative spaceship. It was on display at the International UFO Museum. Three people grabbed the disc spaceship. They loaded it in the back of a pickup truck. They took off. They smashed it, but surveillance tape caught them all. One kid arrested. Let's check in with what's going on in the skies these days with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Stephen, go ahead.
Hi, George. So many wonderful things happening, and I think we should start off with the planet Jupiter here. If you have clear skies right now throughout the coast audience, look high up in your skies. You're pretty much, I would say, halfway up in the southern sky. But here's what's interesting, George. People are telling us here and reporting this, amateur astronomers back on St. Patrick's Day evening imaged in their own telescopes with video cameras two large explosions on the planet Jupiter, meaning something indeed has hit the planet. And I don't find that odd at all, because over the last decade, five major objects have slammed into Jupiter, a total of six of these over the last 22 years. And we should all be grateful for Jupiter because it pulls in so much of that errant material from space. George, I'm out here with the telescope looking at Jupiter live for the coast audience right now, and you could follow along. You have a small telescope, take a look. On the right side of Jupiter, George, the satellite Io, and the satellite Ganymede, the largest satellite in the solar system, hugs the right side of Jupiter. And I can see the shadow of Ganymede right on the planet Jupiter. Everybody can see that if they go now. To the left of it, the satellite Europa, just to the left edge of Jupiter's limb, and then way out there, you can see it, is Callisto. But George, pay attention, folks, to the evening of April 6th. We're going to have so many wonderful events happening with Jupiter and its moons, so many eclipses, so many transits. It's a nice night to prepare for, April 6th into the morning of the 7th. And finally, George, in our weekly update, and I appreciate that, take a good look in the early morning sky, folks. If you look just before sunrise, you'll see that last quarter moon hugging the southern sky, and to the right of it, George, the planet Mars starting to get brighter, and Saturn right in between, making a beautiful way to end the month of March. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sky. Appreciate everything you do. Well, almost a year ago, we had Bob Fletcher on the program talking about Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru, his DVD. We're going to talk with Bob in a moment on Coast to Coast and get some updates on Planet X. Stand by. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me tell you a little bit about Bob Fletcher, multifaceted entrepreneur, international consultant, manufacturer, merged a small toy manufacturing business in 1985 with a corporation that turned out to be a supplier of weapons for the U.S. intelligence agencies worldwide, involving the highest level of covert operations. Now, this merger placed Bob in a position of becoming a federal witness and led him to permanently becoming an investigative researcher, by the way. His DVD called Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru. We're going to get updates from Bob for the next couple hours on this incredible story. Bob, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, George. It's good to be back and say hi. It's been an interesting ride. It has been about a year, I guess.
Yeah.
Since I was on.
We're getting close. By the way, when you were making toys, what kind of toys were you making?
There was one main toy that I, it's kind of like an invention of mine, that originally we were selling to professional magicians, as a matter of fact. But then we realized it was like everybody that ever saw the toy function wanted to take one home. They all said they wanted to take it home for their kids or their grandkids, but the reality was that the adults wanted to take them home for themselves. It actually was it's like a puppet, a hand puppet. It's about 12, 13 inches long, and it's it was made of rabbit fur, which we got from Europe for the most part, overseas, where they eating rabbits all the time, so there was plenty of it available. But it was a raccoon, a skunk, and a fox. And one was an all-white fox, and the point of the toy was that it's manipulated externally by your hands when you're holding it, but they absolutely look alive. I've had most people, when they very first see it, they absolutely are positive that it's a live animal, and it just sold like hotcakes so profusely. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4. I started making them, selling them, actually as a part-time thing, because I was at that time doing something else at the same time. And we started selling them to magicians. They've been on every major magician in the world probably owns one of them. And so they were going great. I even opened up a couple of retail operations, which were, in essence, they were like magic shops, mm-hmm. but the primary toy was this raccoon and a skunk and a fox, et cetera, that just looked like it was alive. I mean, it's very, very deceptive. Again, being an interest to magicians, obviously, it was that good. But that's what we were doing, and the retail operations, they were great. We were going into amusement parks. And it was again, that was the primary attraction, where these toys that absolutely look like they were alive. I called them spring animals, but the point being actually that it was just a large spring inside the body of this toy, and you learned how to manipulate it, and it was extraordinarily a hot item. It really killed me when I ended up being ripped off by merging my business with this other business that appeared to be...
And what did they want your toy company for if they were suppliers of weapons?
Well, as a matter of fact, later, you know, once I realized what was going on and they recruited myself, they initially attempted to recruit me, and of course I didn't get involved with it, but and then I was never paid properly, so we pursued legal action. But one thing led to another, and like I say, we discovered it was actually these guys, which were military generals, they were the guys that actually ran the Vietnam War, period.
My God, Bob.
The movie of Air America, where they were smuggling the drugs and gold in and out and arms and what have you during the Vietnam War, that was those military generals that were overseeing that operation were the people that were involved with taking over my company and merging it in with what was technically like a quasi holding company, so to speak. They owned, they bought and sold businesses on a regular basis. They didn't sell them very often. They usually ended up bankrupting them. But they were in and out of everything you could imagine, because what they were using and the intent with my business was the same as they had done for many years. All these little covert war operations that the United States covert operations carry out on a regular basis with national security and the CIA, et cetera, overthrowing, like the Nicaraguan thing, which I ended up right in the middle of the Iran-Contra inquiry, which that was during arming the Nicaraguan rebels, the Contras, and supplying them with weapons. And I don't even have trouble naming names. It was General John Singlob, General Heine Adderholt, Richard Secord, General Richard Secord. These were all the three primary guys that were, in fact, Oliver North, who was the key character in the inquiry, so to speak, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. He worked for those generals, and those were the generals that basically ran all of the covert operations and the out-in-front military operations in the Vietnam War, period. Of course, this was several years later. And what they do is, as the old thing about old soldiers never die.
They just fade away, maybe.
Right. In this case, old covert soldiers never die. They just keep doing covert operations.
Jeez,
so
Bob.
To answer your question in terms of what they needed a toy company for, they use companies like myself. They wanted to recruit me to go to West Africa, where they were going to expand. Like you say, they were already doing the Iran or the Contra mess in Nicaragua. They were dealing, of course, on the drug side. Now, that's the big side of this thing, was smuggling drugs back into America after dropping weapons off in South America. They would load up the planes, fly them back into the United States Air Force bases, and offload narcotics right out of the same plane.
Were they going to use the toys to stuff them in?
No. And excuse me, I diverted off again. The bottom line was they simply wanted me to go to West African nations that they were about to expand, overthrowing one of the governments. I think it was in Angola. And the idea was that I would simply be an information courier. I would go over there. I had this legitimate toy company. I could... Go strictly as a front. I can go over without anybody paying attention to me, go in, touch base with maybe some local manufacturers, maybe buy a couple of dumb toys or something over there with the intent of bringing them back over here for sale, and pick up and deliver information strictly as an information courier. God knows what I would have ended up being and doing. Actually, I would have been probably dead, although I was almost dead a few times later when I became a federal witness in several inquiries, actually. with the Congress and the Senate, besides the congressional inquiry with the Iran-Contra mess, which was the Nicaraguan business. Besides that, I got involved with, I was even hired by Manuel Noriega's attorneys, as a matter of fact.
Man,
later on, when
you were in all the wrong places at the right time.
Well, the point was that these guys, the four or five primary characters with this, basically, those were the guys that coordinated all around the globe, all the little covert overthrow governments, supply the revolutionaries with weapons, et cetera, and on the basis with CIA and the national security, et cetera. They also would be, for, let's use an example, two or three of those guys may be involved with two or three other covert operatives to do something else, like I said, in maybe Angola or West Africa. Maybe the next following year they'll be in Iraq or Iran, or in the case now, covert operatives are constantly involved with theoretically chasing ISIS over there and supplying the different weapons and coordinating the movement of weapons, et cetera, covertly under the radar, so to speak. And it would always be the same guys, and mixed maybe with two others from the left or the right or whatever. So what happened after I had the nerve to shoot my mouth off and become a federal witness, I would get a senator and congressman I was involved with, ended up being involved with Arlen Specter, Henry Gonzalez, just a whole long list of all the different congressmen and senators that were running these varieties of investigations. Usually they end up, the left and the right, chasing each other. You know, all these inquiries at the congressional level are completely fraudulent. It's complete garbage. You know, nobody's ever gotten in trouble. And even when Oliver North was found guilty and admitted to lying to the Congress and all that, everything, nothing ever happened to him. As a matter of fact, he just enhanced his bank account for the following 10 years. And now he's got a television show. And he literally was found guilty of drug smuggling and murder.
Now let me ask you this then, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How in the world, with all this, did you get involved with the hunt for Nibiru, Planet X?
Well, I wasn't. And normally, I wouldn't normally not even pay attention to that, George. That to me was a kind of a nebulous kind of an unknown thing. It was maybe out there and maybe not and all the rest of that. And it's kind of a...
Was it like a fun thing for you at the time?
No, not at all. No, I don't have time for fun things. And I'm an old guy now, and I still am up to my keister pursuing many, many interesting situations from an investigative side of things. I should be just retired and not doing any of it. But no, what happened was someone approached me and asked me a few years ago now, going back maybe 3-4 years, somebody came and said, we have this extraordinary amount of money disappearing out of government funding of a large sorts. Now we're not just talking multi-millions, which I was used to tracking down, so to speak, where you had a congressman who wanted to build a home illegitimately with stolen funds one way or another in Tahiti for his summer holidays, and chasing that type of thing was rather regular. But this was billions, and then it ended up being trillions with a T, vanishing out of a variety of covert funding, military contracts and things of that sort. And it was extraordinary money. The drug smuggling, which covertly has yielded huge amounts of money for criminal persons in our own government at the highest level for many years, that was like peanuts compared to the money that was disappearing. So I had been asked, would you kind of just look into it? I said, look, I'm not doing this like I used to do it many years ago, and I don't have the contacts as much like I used to have. at the highest levels, CIA people and the Pentagon and et cetera.
Hold on for a second, Bob. We're at the break. We'll come back and find out how you got involved in the search for Planet X. Planet X, Nibiru. You've heard us talk about it before. We'll be talking with Bob Fletcher about it again when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you on Coast to Coast with Bob Fletcher as we talk about Nibiru. We're talking about incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru. So, Bob, let's get back to how you found out about Nibiru in the first place. I mean, were you listening to Coast? What happened?
No, as a matter of fact, and I know you had talked about it many years ago. You were probably the first talk radio program that had the nerve or was nutty enough, whichever is the right term, but to talk about you actually got into it many years ago. Am I
yes,
correct?
We did. Yeah, our show did with Art. We started talking about it. I started talking about it about 13 to 15 years ago, and we've never stopped.
Right, and I, like I said, I had no interest in it. And it was kind of like so far out for me commonly, that I wouldn't even have looked at it. But what happened, as I said, I had been at somebody, actually a couple of people, and they had asked me, hey, you know, can you kind of just quietly snoop around and try to figure out where this gigantic amounts of money was going, besides the fact that all the gold was gone from Fort Knox, and there's no question about that. That does not exist. It's gone already. And that I would include in the vanished money related, interfaced with the incoming of Nibiru. So I said, anyhow, I said yes, and I started looking at it. And I originally couldn't figure it out. I was getting bits and pieces from a lot of directions. And then finally somebody said something about, what happened was it directed me, I ended up realizing and discovering in depth something I had looked at a little bit in 1995 period of time, and that was the underground facilities. And then the realization that every nation in the world was building underground facilities, big ones and in large quantities, and filling them with immediate use survival foods. And what I mean by that is they were filling it up with a mandate to pretty much have all these underground, I call them hideouts, created for the a limited few elite. You can't put everybody underground. So obviously those persons at the highest levels of what I would call the New World Order, One World, New World Order
right.
People. I realized how many there was, how many nations were involved with putting them in underground, filling them with the survival foods with a mandate to have them ready and filled like at the beginning of this last year, as of about a year or two ago. They were to have all of these 20, 30-year survival foods already in place in the underground facilities. And then I found out how big they were and how many there were, et cetera. And so the next question that had to be answered was, what is going on where all of a sudden over a period of 10, 15, actually it goes back about 20 years when they really started doing it seriously in the 83, 85 period of time, which coincidentally was when I was involved with the Iran-Contra inquiries in 87. And from that period of time was when things changed radically in terms of the space programs, the funding, how much money was going where and where it was going, and how many covert secret black operations were having large amounts funded, but then it was disappearing before it was even being applied to what it was theoretically going to go towards. And I had to answer the question, what is it that would take these people who at the very highest level pretty much are pulling off like you, one of your advertisements, one of your little advertising just mentioned the coup de grace of the United States of America, which is what we have witnessed, and we are literally in the middle of a full coup de grace with these one world government people? And what would it be that would scare them, influence them so much that they would drop all of the money that they're been stealing for their own pockets and shift gears to where they were all going underground like gophers?
To protect themselves, of course, right?
What would it be? It would have to be something extraordinary. And again, it was global. Every single major nation in the world is building these underground facilities, and ended up coming back to only one possible thing, and that was Nibiru Planet X, something that I knew very little about, and so I had to become a quick student over a period of a year and a half, and finding out everything I had to find out about it. Well, when were they expecting it? When had it started? When was it that they pretty much somebody had made the report into, probably it appeared to have been Ronald Reagan, according to information that I had gotten, in approximately 1983, when they had put up the largest infrared telescope into the farthest reaches of our solar system. And that was in about 1983 when they launched that. They put it out, and apparently, to the surprise of the bad guys, they came back running into the White House and said, uh-oh, guess what? That Planet X that people have been making fun of for 100 years with everybody that ever brought it up and calling them conspiracy nuts and astronomical wannabes and what have you, that thing existed, and it is on its way back in. And at that point in time was when they started shifting on their manner of criminality, stealing for themselves and kind of shifting gears to stealing for the potential salvation and survival of their families and their people necessary to control and take over things when and this event was to take place.
Without letting us know about it, obviously.
Absolutely. And the bottom line is, unfortunately, that if you have something of this sort headed back in, and it's so well documented in ancient history and biblical documentation and what have you globally for many, many years, that this is a reality, and it is a large planet-type object with a couple of moons, maybe four or five moons, and it is in this huge elliptical kind of an orbit, and then it comes back around, and then, of course, there's a question as to whether it's 350-year or a 3,500-year cycle, and that may just be in a misunderstanding or misinterpretation of the application use of the figure zero. And obviously, if you just take one zero off the end of 3,500, it is now 350. So there is kind of a debate on all of that. But the bottom line is, apparently it is out there, it is on the way back in, and again, of course, you have, the big question of everybody wants to know when, does anybody know exactly when it's going to come back and all of that, and that, of course, is the problem. But I went ahead with the information from so many directions and so many people far more schooled on the astronomical side of this than I was. But I mix that with my knowledge and friends in contact relative to government and military, et cetera, over the last 30 years of being involved with those things directly myself, putting together investigations and what have you. I put it all together, and I went out on a limb and put together this large presentation. It's a four-hour double DVD presentation with the intent of answering almost every question that I had people asking me over the last couple of years before I had put together the DVD expose. And I covered the religious aspects where there's involvement of the Vatican and how far that goes back and what their involvement was, which even includes the creation of that large telescopic installation that they put in, owned by the Vatican, but it's in Arizona, and it's called Lucifer.
Yeah, about bizarre astronomical telescope system.
Right, and basically it's an infrared system. The big deal with, apparently, with the Nibiru, it doesn't generate any light of its own, and it's no place most of the time where it's going to reflect any light, where it's not close enough to where you can look up and see it coming in, this afternoon. When that point does come and that does arrive, we will see it. And that fits into other strange events when people recently have been questioning why, and this goes back, my first knowledge of what I'm about to tell you goes back to 95 period of time when I found out that the government was supplying military type equipment to all the police and sheriff departments all over the United States. And it was kind of like real overkill in some situations with armored cars and grenade launchers and full automatic 50 caliber machine guns and that type of equipment going into, let's say, a small sheriff's department in Omaha, Nebraska, you know, things of that sort, which is kind of like really overkill. And of course, when they rolled some of those out into the black communities a year or so back with some of the police shootings of people, and when the citizens all of a sudden they said, "Whoa, what is that?" And they were coming down the streets with the armored cars and that type of equipment that was again talked about as kind of overkill.
Bob, how influential was the works of the late Zechariah Sitchin with his work on Nibiru and the Anunnaki and the such?
And for the people that are not aware, Zechariah Sitchin was an archaeologist and a linguistist, a linguist, I guess I don't know what the word is. All right.
And an expert on antiquity.
Yes, and an expert in antiquities with the ability to decipher ancient dialects and writings of ancient civilizations. And he had crossed the path looking at thousands of clay tablets that were originally from Sumeria, and they were like 4,000-year-old, 2,000, 3,000-old writings, like a diary of the people in Sumeria back a few thousand years ago, and it was the story of Nibiru passing through close enough into our near Earth and one of its passages, and where people theoretically coming off of what he was deciphering were living on one of the planets that pulls around and traveling, one of the moons, I guess, traveling with Nibiru, and that they had landed on Earth, they were mining the gold, etc., etc. And of course, at that point, they were not much more than pretty low-level intellect on human beings on Earth at that time. I think all of those people later went into government in Washington, but the people apparently were kind of turned into slaves, and they took the gold, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a very complex, interesting story. And Zechariah Sitchin put together several books talking and describing the Anunnaki, that theoretically were the original people that had come down and had crossbred with some of the people on Earth and all that.
And his detractors, though, Bob, really came after him.
Oh, well, you know, the first off, you have the big problem with his information was a religious thing. You know, the problem is all of a sudden it took all the basic Christian concepts and the biblical stories and kind of, mixed them up. Like, what are we talking about? these people came down from a planet, and they were the ones that were involved. And Anunnaki was the word Adam came from their dialogue as being the first man, and all the rest of that with the Adam and Eve story.
Yep.
But it just banged heads with the Christian communities and a lot of religions. So that was his first problem. And then, of course, the second problem is people are just scared to death of anything that they don't understand, and that thing of if I can't see it myself, I don't believe it kind of a concept. But anyhow, he was, of course, very important, but in the study and bringing the story that, and here's where it gets back to the Nibiru, the story was that it comes around every 3,000 years.
3,600 years, actually.
Right. 3,600 is what he had analyzed and deciphered. And it comes up. It comes around the sun just like any other, even like a meteor that would come around and go around the sun and then go back out on an orbit, such as the comets that what's the word I'm trying to think of? I'm using the wrong terminology here, but anyhow, the idea was that it was just on this huge orbital plane, and it comes around, passes through, and when it goes between the sun and the Earth, it of course causes an extraordinary solar eclipse for a long period of time.
I mean, they think it even caused the flood of Noah.
Absolutely.
And so many other things.
Yeah, and the reason, and all of the effects of this, the bottom line is it's supposedly 10 times the size, and then of course there's all these other different analogies, but 10 times the size of Earth in physical mass and size, and with it passing, not going to hit Earth, but it passes and causes an eclipse situation, the gravitational effect was such that it yanked the waters right out of the seabeds and caused the Noah's flood, as you mentioned. And then, of course, in our case now, it would probably cause the elimination of the proper functioning of all of our electronics because we're so dependent on that. We would have electromagnetic impulses and the failure of our satellites because of the close passage. Now, additionally, what happens as this goes around, we are going around on our small 365-day orbit for our annual full cycle around the sun. And what will take place is when this comes in like a comet, like Halley's Comet, all right? When it comes in, it's going to be dragging millions of miles of space junk and debris, not even counting the basic four or five moons that they're...
little asteroids, everything.
So what we would have is it will come past. We will go through it, through the tail of this thing, which will take not too long, but we will go through the tail, and at that point we will be going through a meteor storm like a biblical meteor storm, which again is described in the Bible in several places, where the fire and brimstone struck on the ground and killing 100,000 or 10,000 soldiers in a single hour and all that type of problem, being described the best they could in biblical terminology. But it is described, and it even in Revelations, the amount of descriptions in Revelations related to this period of time is kind of scary, but it is all in the Bible.
Bob, next hour we'll talk more about your work, Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru, plus we'll take some of your calls on Coast to Coast AM.